This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. This is Bernice Ross, the CEO of RealEstateCoach.com, and I'm very happy to welcome Imran Ali. He's a real estate agent with Keller Williams in Silver Lake, California. That's on the east side of Los Angeles. And we have a fantastic topic for you today. It's called How I Went from Zero to $25 million in Sales in 18 Months. Now, Imran, I'm certain everybody's going to be interested in the story. So could you tell us, first of all, how you got started in real estate and how the people in the first area where you started named you the mayor of the neighborhood? You know, I want to know how you earned that title.
I started in real estate in 2004, and my girlfriend, my now wife, and I had just moved into a neighborhood called Beechwood Canyon. People might know it better as the neighborhood underneath the Hollywood sign. And we were renting a small duplex up in the hills, and I didn't really know anybody at the time. I was brand new to the business, and one of my mentors, who I kind of trained in the beginning, Chris Mooney and Deborah Zivin, they told me the first thing you need to know is know the inventory. So I was kind of a maniac. I took that literally, and I knew every single home that would hit the market, I would visit it. And I had this notebook where I would take these copious notes about the weirdest details. And I thought at the time it'd be very cool to be a view home specialist. So I kept track of which direction the house faced in terms of whether it got sunsets or whether it got an ocean view or a Hollywood sign view or a downtown view or what I called a hat trick where it got all three, ocean, Hollywood sign, and downtown. And I kind of just kept that in my back pocket and really, really became an expert in the inventory of my neighborhood. I think I would see, if I look back on my notes, I was looking at them last night, I would see sometimes 40 homes in a week. Of course, I had no buyers and no sellers, but I really knew the inventory very quickly. So that no one else knew that, I had a very strong understanding of the neighborhood. The moniker, like the mayor, and let's be honest, not every single person in the neighborhood knew who I was, but I picked up that moniker because shortly after moving into the neighborhood, a small Maltese abandoned dog ran in front of my wife's car and we ended up adopting it, and he became Kumar. And because we didn't have a backyard, it forced me to walk him twice a day through up and down the neighborhood. So the way it kind of works is, and anyone who owns a dog knows this, dogs meet dogs, and then people meet the dogs, and then people meet the people that own the dogs when you're walking them. So that's kind of how it happened. You start to meet all the people in your neighborhood. And I never told anybody I was a real estate agent. It wasn't really about that at first. But they ended up finding that out naturally. And that's kind of how it got picked up. And then when they found out about it naturally, and they were asking about other homes in the neighborhood, this was before Redfin, before Zillow, I was kind of like a walking Thomas Guide or encyclopedia, Wikipedia of the neighborhood's inventory and the history of the homes from, in that time period. It kind of launched me, and from there, quickly became an expert in selling several homes in the Beechwood area, and just compounded after that.
Well, what's really interesting here is one of the things that we advise new agents to do, first of all, learn your contracts. The second thing is learn the inventory and get, of course, a CRM of some sort. But that inventory knowledge is what differentiates the top producers from the people who are not producing that much. You know that inventory like the back of your hand. Now, you took a hiatus from the business to start a company, and then you've come back into the business, and because you were away, 3.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
You moved. What happened then?
So I had to essentially start from scratch.
So you're back at zero, essentially. You've moved, you're in a different area now, and you're back at zero.
Nobody knew who I was. The price points around the homes around me were much lower. And the business had changed, right? There was, the information was readily available to everybody now. Everyone knows about Zillow and Redfin and Trulia and HomeSnap and, all these different search sites. So the information that's no longer as valuable a resource that we brought to the table. And so I kind of had to start over. The way we did it is very simply right off the bat, I knew that we needed leads coming in immediately. We need to convert them. So I allotted a budget to Realtor.com, Trulia, and Zillow, and started working on converting those leads right off the bat. And those have been actually pretty good, but you have to, again, be able to convert those leads by knowing information that when people call, you can help. So one of my models has always kind of been, you know, be kind and be useful to the people that are you're helping. So anyone that would call, we have a pretty decent conversion rate. We were converting about 10 to 15% of our online leads, if I go back and measure it, for the last 18 months.
And hang on a second, because I think the conversion rate that most people talk about is 1 to 2%. If you're 3 to 4%, you're a rock star. Okay, how did you get 10 to 15%? What are you doing here? I mean, I'd like to be kind, be useful. Can you tell us more, please?
Yeah, so, okay, I'll give you a good example. Because I know the inventory, like the back of my hand, the very first call that came in on a lead was for a home that was already in escrow. And a lot of people that are buying these leads know that they're going to get those calls. But with a couple of questions, like, what is it that you're really looking for? And asking probing questions about what their needs are. I was able to tell her about a property I had seen a week ago that I knew specific details about that would work for her. She decided to meet with me that afternoon. We went and looked at the property. There was 5 or 6 other offers on it at the time. Because I knew the inventory and knew how to get that offer accepted, and I happened to know the agent because I previewed the house when it wasn't even during a broker's open. I called the agent and just said I wanted to preview it. So she knew, the agent that I wrote the offer for knew that I knew the property well. And we got her offer accepted, and it started like that. So really having that information at your fingertips and being right there to answer the call within the first, like, you know, 90 seconds is, like, I think 75% of the deal. Now, not everyone's going to want to work with you. I mean, there's definitely people that I don't want to work with that call me, but being right there to call them back, and everyone says this, right? It's not some startling news, but you have to, if you're there within 90 seconds calling them back right after they lift the finger off the send button, then they're impressed. And then when you have the information and you're ready to go, they realize that you can lead them to where they want to go.
Okay. I want to know, so how do you know you're doing this interview with me right now? You get a call that comes in. How do you do the 90 seconds when you're driving or you're just not available for whatever the reason?
So if it doesn't come to me, it gets routed to one of my assistant or my buyer's agent. And those are people that I brought on since then. But literally, I would just pull over and no matter where I was, and I would answer that call and call them back. Cause it's expensive. You know, these leads aren't cheap. And I'm kind of a frugal person. So if I'm paying for these leads, I'm going to, when they come in, they're like, they're like gold to us, right? I mean, you have to take advantage of it. I had a very shoestring budget when I got back into the business. So every lead really mattered to me. And I can see how agents can get really exhausted from this type of lead generation because it seems like you expect sometimes the next person to be difficult or not be a real buyer. But I kind of take, whenever I feel that way, I switch it around 180 degrees and I look at it. Now, this person's going to be not just a good buyer, this person's going to be a lifelong client, and we're going to enjoy working with this person, helping this person. And that kind of, that's a constant affirmation I have to remind myself.
You know, that's a great reminder. There's something in psychology called self-fulfilling prophecy. What you expect to happen will happen. So you expect to attract good clients. You provide excellent service. You're going to attract good clients. So they work hand in hand. Now, how did you go about learning this? Did you use the same tactic in terms of learning the neighborhood? And the two new neighborhoods were very different from what you told me before. So walking your dog wasn't necessarily the way that you were going to get into this neighborhood. What did you do?
So I was trying a lot of different things. And one of the things I did is I met a young guy who was just fearless about knocking on people's doors. And so I trained him. I armed him with information. And I created very clean market updates of what's really accurately happening in our neighborhood. I spent about a day drafting this one-page sheet with local information, and I sent him out there just to talk to people. And he would come back with five or six different potential people that may be interested in selling in the next, you know, year or 2 years. And from that, we just started meeting people and talking to people and understanding what they were looking to do. And we started converting, you know, people started getting to know us. Now, those didn't necessarily turn into a lead to sell right away. But when I would get a listing, I would go back and invite these people. And it takes time to build the farm this way. But people get to know who you are. And then when they hear of something happening, we would start to get calls of, hey, I think my neighbor's thinking about selling. You're my guy. You know, I hear that all the time. You know, you're my guy. They start to appreciate who you are as a person and that you're working very hard in that neighborhood. They see you all the time. You're not just a letter that shows up on their, front door with a, just sold. They see your face and they know you're working. So that's one tactic, one strategy that we use to get to know everybody. We literally had a ground attack. So sending my guy, and his name was Ramon, sending him out to knock on doors. That was face to face, getting to know everybody, putting our, a face behind the flyers and stuff that we were going to send out. Another thing that we did is we came involved with the elementary school in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood wraps around one really poorly rated elementary school, whereas down the street there's another elementary called Ivanhoe, and the homes in that neighborhood are significantly more expensive price per square foot than ours because that elementary school is so well rated. And one of the reasons it's such a great elementary school is a lot of the parents in the neighborhood donate to the school. So no one donates to the one in my neighborhood, so that's what we started doing. I believe that if we start providing money, and not just money, but time after school to tutor those kids, we can get the rating up of that elementary school. It'll eventually improve not just the kids' lives, but also the home values in our neighborhood. So we're very actively involved with that as well. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to get it to where I would like to get it. It's exciting to see the response from the faculty and the parents in the neighborhood when they come into my open houses and they realize that, oh yeah, this is the guy that made that donation and was able to get those tools for our students or our kids.
And they're also seeing you there tutoring at the school one day a week. Is anyone else from your team helping in terms of the tutoring?
Yeah, my assistant and I both tutor. I mean, most of the kids in our neighborhood I shouldn't say English is a second language, but it's close. And yeah, we spend a lot of time, with the after school programs. One of the things we offer is something called A26LA. It's Dave Eggers, who's a writer, has a really interesting writing program that's in our neighborhood. So we involve a lot of the kids that go to our schools and invite them to this after school and summer program where we spend 4 or 5 hours a day working on really interesting writing projects with them. But it's really rewarding on top of just being a real estate agent selling homes in the neighborhood to actually see these kids kind of grow up and be a part of it.
What a fantastic way when we have all this negative news and all the things that are out there. And I know as realtors, we're impacted by this, but we can't do anything about the big national problems necessarily, but we can really do something for our neighborhoods like you're doing. So this is fantastic. And you mentioned just a little bit before that the market had changed and that, your whole marketing had to change as well when you came back in because there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't Snapchat, there wasn't Matterport. Could you say, how have you changed what you were doing from the time when you left the business to the time that you came back to the business?
One of the first things I immediately did with coming back to differentiate myself on listing appointments was we purchased a Matterport camera. And we include that in every one of our listing presentations. And I got to say, looking back on it now, it doesn't have as much impact yet on the people that actually it influences to buy the house. But in a listing appointment, it's very powerful. If you're going to provide that, go to that length to provide that to the seller when another agent will not. And I know we've beaten out some very much higher producing agents in the neighborhood with much larger presence because of that. That's one thing right off the bat.
Could you say what the Matterport camera is in case our listeners don't know that?
Sure. It's a camera that you can it captures a 3D virtual tour of the house. Like, it's an actual 3D rendering, and you can look at it as a dollhouse view. You can move it around. You can zoom into it and literally look into a sink, look up at the ceiling, and walk around the property. And they're constantly improving it, so it's an excellent tool for marketing purposes. I also use that to generate buyer leads, because when people walk into my open house, the first thing I do is I send them a link of the Matterport, which is on my website, to their phone. So before they leave, they're playing with that. And then they also have they're in my website on their phone. But I'll give you an example. So we were just selling a home, and this was a fixer, and people were kind of imagining, oh, I'll tear this wall down, I'll tear that wall down. I would send them a link of the Matterport 3D, where you can actually look at the house from a bird's eye view, or you can look at it as a dollhouse to give them a better idea of what they can actually do to the house. And then they start playing with it. If you haven't played with it, it's the first time you see it, it's pretty impressive. But they would hold on to that, and it would be in their phone, and my contact information would be in their phone. And when I texted them, I would have their contact information in my phone. And it would be another way to kind of embed in them, like, you're doing something different than the other agents that they're meeting at the next open house. Or if they're a potential seller, they're seeing that you're able to provide another value add that maybe another agent wouldn't be able to provide. Or you're on top of the latest technology. Some people might call it the next shiny new object, but I think it's how you use the tools that are available and how you creatively market them to your audience to show value.
How are you using Facebook, Instagram, and pulling your marketing together in those areas?
That's one area that we're starting to focus on right now. We wanted to do it right. I don't just want to throw a lot of stuff up there. And I want to have an organized campaign to do it. And I'm doing a lot of research right now and trying to follow best practices of what some of the better agents and what some of the I read a lot about what they're doing with a curator. I might be involved, looking a little bit deeply into that. I'm looking at what paperless, we're talking about a paperless agent. But we're kind of searching out best practices to make that work. But that's still for us right now. We're still very in the early stages of implementing a program to do that. We do send out a recently just sold and just listed, and we're creating to our database. They're aware of it. But I will say, even with a little minimal bit of effort that we've done in that area, people now know that I'm selling real estate again after a 3-year hiatus. So people that thought I was completely out of the business have been getting back in touch with us because of that. And when I run into them at a party or I run into them in the neighborhood, they know that I'm working. So a little bit goes a long way in social media.
Well, this is great. So where do you stand right now?
If I look at my numbers, we had 18 listings and 17 buyer sales in the last 18 months. In my neighborhood, the average listing was, I think, 1.1. The average buyer sale was around 650. That's where we get to the kind of the 25 million in volume. It's a lot of hard work to get there from where we were in the last years. And I'll be honest, Bernice, I'm exhausted. I am beat. But we're excited to do the, we've laid the groundwork. Now it's about just kind of optimizing the things that we're doing and then implementing one new marketing feature at a time instead of trying to do 50,000 things at once.
So tell me one or two takeaways that are the most important for our listeners. So, many of them are brand new in the business. And for those that are more experienced, what are the one or two takeaways?
Look, if you're brand new, and I'm training a couple of young agents right now, I think the first thing is you really have to know the inventory. That's the easiest thing to do. It doesn't cost anything. It just takes time, and it takes a little bit of thoughtfulness. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is that we did when I got back into business is, put together the database of everyone that you know and everyone that you've helped in the past or you could possibly help, and let them know that you're in the business. I mean, they're very basic, fundamental things, but if you're a brand new agent, those are the two things that I highly recommend. You may not have the money for the, purchasing leads from Zillow or Trulia. You may not have, those resources to buy a camera right off the bat. So that's the first thing I would do. The next thing I would do is, if you're brand new and you don't have any money, is once you have that knowledge, you can be much more effective in converting leads at open houses, effective at converting leads. That's the takeaway. Know the inventory and show up and hold open houses right off the bat. Get to know the people in the area. And then, you know, the other thing that we did is I didn't have too big of an ego to go to bigger agents and ask them if they needed any help with anything. And we actually did pick up a couple of deals that we were able to turn into much more business through referrals from helping other agents coming off the bat. And any big, if you're a new agent, there's a lot of work, and sometimes agents can't fit, you know, take care of all of it. So don't be hesitant or scared to ask agents if they need help. I think another thing to do is pick a good someone to compete against. That you simply say, "Oh, there's no competition." Now, I believe it's kind of healthy to have people that you're shooting to go against.
We've been visiting with Imran Ali. He's a real estate agent from Keller Williams in Silver Lake, California. And what a great story! Thank you for sharing this about how you went from zero to 25 million. I'll be eager to hear where you are next year.
Yeah, I hope that helps some of the new agents. A lot of agents helped me when I started. One thing can help someone, that's great.
Fantastic. Thank you again.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for MN Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit MN.com. Make it a great day.